The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Reclining at table with his disciples, Jesus was deeply troubled and testified, "Amen, amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at each other, at a loss to whom he meant. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter nodded to him to find out whom he meant. He leaned back against Jesus' chest and said to him, "Master, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I hand the morsel after I have dipped it." So he dipped the morsel and took it and handed it to Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot. After Judas took the morsel, Satan entered into him. So Jesus said to him, "What you're going to do, go do quickly." Now none of those reclining at table realized why he had said this to Judas. Some thought that since Judas kept the money bag, Jesus had told him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or to give something to the poor. So Judas took the morsel and left at once. And it was night. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified with him. If God is glorified with him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. My children, I'll be with you only a little while longer. You'll look for me, and as I told the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, though you will follow me later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you deny me 3 times." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the reading, we have again that same contrast we had yesterday between God's perspective and ours. Today we see between God's glory and human betrayal, and how the two, God's glory and human betrayal, paradoxically go together. If we're going to understand what's happening this week, and if we're going to understand how to live a truly Christian life, we need to grasp this connection between God's glory and his merciful forgiveness of our betrayals. We begin with God's glory. Today we have the second of the 4 suffering servant songs in Isaiah. And after Isaiah for himself, in prophesying about Jesus, the suffering servant who would come later, described his prehistory, that the Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb, he gave me my name. We see that right there in the Annunciation. Gave me a sharp-edged sword for a tongue, concealed me in the shadow of my arms, made me a polished arrow, but in his quiver he hid me. Jesus' 30 years in Nazareth were hidden in that quiver of the Lord. Jesus was that arrow meant to pierce our heart with divine love, but he was hidden for a time. Talks about the contradictions. "Though I thought I had toiled in vain, that I had basically wasted my life for nothing, uselessly spent my strength, realized in the midst of his suffering that his reward is with the Lord, his recompense is with God. For the Lord had spoken, formed him as a servant from the womb. What was the purpose of all that he would suffer? So that Jacob may be brought back to him, Israel gathered to him, because it wasn't enough for him to be the servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. Instead, he had a much bigger mission, to make him a light to the nations, that his salvation may reach the ends of the earth." That would be his glory, reuniting all the tribes of Jacob, bringing the light of God, the light and the salvation of the Lord, to everyone. That would be the glory. You are my servant, God said to him, through whom I now show my glory. And as God is glorified through his obedient, loving suffering, so the suffering servant is likewise glorified. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, for God is now my strength. God's glory and the glory of his servant go together. And that mutual glorification happens through suffering, which in the eyes of the world seems vain, but in God's eyes is salvific. Jesus picks up on that theme in the heart of today's gospel. He says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once. The connection between God the Father's glory and the Son's glory, between God's glory and the servant's glory. And that is sandwiched in between a double betrayal. First, we get this betrayal of Judas. Jesus was giving Judas so many chances. Today we have three. Jesus had known for a year what Judas was going to do. He saw it when he first announced that he was going to give us his body and blood to gnaw on and to drink. And then in John 6, it says, Jesus knew who was the one who was going to betray him, because Judas wasn't going to accept Jesus' sickening doctrine on the Holy Eucharist as if it were cannibalism. For a year, Jesus had been working on Judas. Comes to this supper. So Jesus first outs Judas in an anonymous way. He says, amen, amen, I say to you, swears an oath. One of you will betray me. Shows you how great a hypocrite Judas was. A tremendous actor. That the only one in that room who knew it was Judas about to betray the Lord was the Lord himself. He had faked everybody else out. But Jesus was essentially saying, I know. It was a call to mercy. A call to divert himself from what he was planning to do. Second gesture. After Peter asks John to ask Jesus who it was, Jesus says, it's the one to whom I give the morsel after I've dipped it. We don't know if that morsel was consecrated or not. We don't know if it was Jesus' body and blood after the consecration of the Last Supper or not. Regardless, to dip a morsel and to give it to somebody else in Middle Eastern culture was a sign of tremendous reverence, tremendous respect. And so Jesus, in doing that to Judas, was doing something significant, like washing everybody's feet during the Last Supper. And yet it didn't change Judas. Jesus' tender kindness, his affection, still didn't pierce Judas's heart. Tells us that as soon as he had received that morsel, Satan entered into him. Not the love of God. And perhaps most significant of all tonight is the way you would celebrate the Last Supper is you'd celebrate it in a U. There wasn't a table like a typical table that we have in our kitchens or in our dining room. It was really low to the ground. The real host would sit at the curve of the U, and then everybody else would be seated around the U, so that you'd have plenty of room. Everybody would be leaning on his left arm radially outward, and you'd use your right arm to eat and to have. And everybody would lean in around the table. So that's why St. John's head was in Jesus' breast, because St. John was on Jesus' right as they were at that U. But the guest of honor, the one who was most important, the host would always seat on his left. And the only way Jesus could have given Judas that morsel is if Judas were on his left. Jesus had seated Judas in the place of honor 3 times there. And yet it didn't move Judas. Satan had entered into his heart. And so Jesus, seeing what was in the heart of man, recognized that Judas had unfortunately rebuffed all of those overtures. So he said, "What you must do, go do quickly." And Judas went out, and St. John says, theologically, and not just meteorologically, it was night. It was dark, because the darkness had really penetrated and extinguished the light in Judas's heart. Jesus would give Judas one last chance when Judas came with all the guards in the Garden of Gethsemane. He'd call him friend, saying, "What have you come for?" And then Judas, using a gesture of love, would betray Jesus, blistering his cheek with a kiss. There's another betrayal here, though. Judas's betrayal was a betrayal of calculation. He had long plotted it. The other betrayal, Peter's betrayal, is going to be a betrayal of weakness. We'll also see another difference. Peter, after asking, "Why can't I follow you now to where you're going?" Peter didn't really know that Jesus was going to die and be raised from the dead. That would happen later. All of the other 11 would be able to follow Jesus in that path. Peter said, "I will lay down my life for you." And Peter meant it. He wasn't lying. It wasn't bravado. He was willing to die for the Lord. But then Jesus called him back. "Peter, will you lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I say to you, the cock will not crow before you have denied me, not once, not twice, but 3 times. We know why Peter betrayed. We talked about that on Sunday at Mass. Jesus' words to Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Stay awake and pray that you may not undergo the test, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Peter's spirit would easily have died 1,000 torturous deaths for Jesus, but his flesh was too weak to even acknowledge Jesus when he was in the courtyard staying by the fire. The second difference between Peter and Judas was what happened afterward. Judas had been with Jesus for 3 years, but he sadly had never grasped what Jesus was about. He never grasped the Lord's parables about the lost sheep, or the lost coin, or the lost son. He never really grasped when Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." When he said to the woman caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." When he said to the man whom he had healed at the pool in Jerusalem, "Go and do not sin anymore, lest something worse happen to you." He had never gotten that Jesus' whole mission was a mission of mercy. And so, when he recognized he had betrayed an innocent man, all that happened in Judas was remorse. "Damn me! I should never have done something. How could I do that? I should have been better than that." And he went out and he hung himself. Never been able to get beyond the tragedy which Jesus recognized, that this night would be the last night of Judas's life. That Judas would die even before Jesus would breathe his last on the cross. And Jesus was trying to treat him like the good thief. But he refused. Peter, on the other hand, got what the Lord was about. When Peter asked him, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother?" 7 times? Should I give my brother an 8th chance? Which is already heroic by the mentality of the world. Jesus said, "No, Peter, not seven times. 70 times, seven times." Peter grasped that because that was the way God forgives. And Peter recognized that the Lord would forgive him. He went out and he wept bitterly. But he came back to be with the church. And Peter would actually lay down his life. He would follow the Lord. Jesus, when he gave that reconstituting dialogue with Peter after the resurrection, asking him three times, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than everything?" And Peter replied three times, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Jesus said, "Feed and tend my sheep and lambs. And when you're older, another person's going to stretch out your arms and drag you to a place you don't want to go." Because he would follow the Lord, dying by crucifixion in Nero and Caligula's circus, just like Jesus had died outside of the gates of Jerusalem. But it was because of that mercy that Peter was able to do it all. It's a tremendous witness to us of how much we need to be like Peter and not like Judas. Jesus can say to each of us today, beginning, of course, with me, "Surely I tell you, every single last one of you is going to betray me." But how are we going to respond to that betrayal? Are we going to respond like Judas? Are we going to respond like Peter? Are we going to return to receive that revivification, that resurrection through the reconciliation with the Lord? Are we just not going to come receive his mercy? Today, as we come forward here to enter into the Last Supper, which is the scene of this gospel, let us recline our heads on Jesus' sacred heart, beating out of love with mercy for us. Let us ask him for the grace as he places the most sacred morsel of all in our mouths, that we may never betray him out of calculation, and that if we out of our own weakness ever betray him, that we will run back to receive his mercy with copious tears of contrition like Peter had, so that we in this world might enter into his glory and to together with him enter into the eternal glory of the Father. Praise be Jesus Christ.